your enemies, see them driven before you, and listen to the Uncut Gems podcast.
Well done.
I could have also started with like, Chrome laughs at your four wins because he listens to the Uncut Gems podcast. No, but what you listen to is the Uncut Gems podcast patron special exclusive episode of our bonus tie-in series. My name's Jakub, by the way.
And my name's Randy.
See, yeah, there you go. We're just the two of us here. We're talking about Arnold because this month we're doing Arnold-specific thematic pleasures. I'm starting with the letter R, and they're all box office bombs. I think all of them. But yeah, anyway, well, we're here to talk about one, this one success of his. I mean, he had more, but what we're going to talk about today is Conan the Barbarian, which is a tie into our last week's episode on the main show, which we did on Red Sonja. So that's kind of the plan for tonight. And as you can possibly tell, I'm not reading off any script because, you know, like, this is back I fly by the seat of my pants, baby.
Winging it.
That's the spirit, you know, just smile and wave. But anyway, before we start, might as well just quickly plug what else is coming and what has come. I should probably just get my Arnie quote from Pumping Iron. It's like, it's important to me as coming is with a woman. coming soon. On the Uncut Gems podcast. Anyway, so like last week we... Yeah, it is last week. Last week we dumped the Side Effects episode on our, on the Patreon. This was the Soderbergh tie into our Behind the Candelabra chat. So now two of his retirement episodes are available. One for our patrons, one... one for everybody else. And by the way, while I'm at it, again, forgot to do this. If you're listening to this on our Patreon, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts to for your hard-earned cash and for supporting this venture, this sort of passion project of ours where we just sit down, the two dads, two centrist dads, as Owen Jones would say. Do you know who Owen Jones is? No, you don't.
I don't.
Because he's like, he's exactly my age. He's like a very sort of lefty journalist. He's fun to listen to, and he really just pokes fun at people.
Oh, he sounds really cool, like us.
Oh yeah, totally. Anyway, so it's two dads talking movies, right? So anyway, thank you very much for supporting this, whatever this is, this hobby of ours. And if you're not a supporter yet, then you can change this by going to patreon.com/uncutgemspod and then subscribing to our show. And then you'll get for just $3 a month, $4.50 Canadian, £3, €3, I think. You'll get access to over 60 extra podcasts. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, no tiers, no nothing. Just $3. That's all it takes. And it helps us pay the bills. So, you know, like, if you're listening on to this on the main feed, like, just bear in mind in a few minutes, this is going to stop. So, there's that. Anyway, so coming back. Today, Conan the Barbarian, last week, Side Effects, and then a few weeks into the future, towards the end of the month, we're going to be traditionally making a stopover for our marathon discussion, and this year we're doing John Cassavetes, and it will be a conversation about opening night, if I remember correctly. I think it is.
Yep. It is.
Anyway, so again, without any further ado, just let's talk about Conan the Barbarian, how about that?
You killed my father! You killed my people! You took my father's sword!
It must have been when I was younger. There was a time, boy, when I searched for steel. And steel meant more to me than gold or jewels.
The riddle of steel.
Yes. You know what it is, don't you, boy? Shall I tell you? It's the least I can do. Steel isn't strong, boy. Flesh is stronger. Look around you. There, on the rocks, that beautiful girl.
Come to me, my child.
So, the hit, Conan the Barbarian, that was released in 1982, directed by John Milius, written by him, from a script that Oliver Stone penned a few years before. Like, there's a whole story behind it. But anyway, so the movie stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, James Earl Jones, Sandal Bergman, Ben Davidson, Jerry Lopez, a bunch of other people. I think Max von Sydow, I think he's doing some voice work in there. I can't remember if he's just there or if he's just...
Who, Max von Sydow?
Or no, maybe he's the King Osric.
He's Osric.
Yes. He had a massive beard. So anyway, Max von Sydow is in there. And a bunch of other people. And it's a story of, well, Conan the Barbarian, a Cimmerian warrior who's orphaned as a child when a bunch of raiders come into his village and murder everyone they see, including his parents. And he has to and he witnesses his parents' death at the hands of this guy called Tulsa Doom, and he swears revenge. So years and years later, he becomes a slave because he's captured by these raiders. He becomes a slave. Then he's turned into a gladiator, and then eventually he's freed, and he embarks on this quest of revenge. Gets a few people to help him out: a thief and an Amazon warrior. One is it Kubotai? Subotai? Jesus Christ! Why am I forgetting? The girl's name is Valeria, and that's Sandal Bergman, whom also we remember from Red Sonja, because she played Queen Gedrun in there.
And she's
a Bob Fosse connection.
Yes.
As well. So there's that. So he gets a few sidekicks, and he embarks on this quest of revenge. Fantasy continues. So the story surrounding the movie is way longer and way more sort of detailed and nuanced. So if you really want to dig into it, there are documentaries, there are, like, even the Wikipedia entry for the film itself is a good sort of starting point for any conversation about Conan the Barbarian, because it's very well written, by the way. Well resourced as well and referenced. But anyway, the story behind Conan the Barbarian comes back way to the early 70s, because even in that time, people in Hollywood were kind of aware. I think there was one producer whose name is
Pressman,
yes. And then what's his name? Edward Pressman. And then if you don't know who this guy is, and so he produced a bunch of people you may have heard of. He produced early De Palma films like Sisters, Phantom of the Paradise. He did a few Oliver Stone films. I think he did Wall Street. He did Blue Steel. And then The Crow he also did. So, and then a bunch of comic book films like Street Fighter and Judge Dredd. Like, he's been all over the sort of like this sort of the weird sort of deep end of 90s and 80s Hollywood. Like, he's a very, very strange dude, I feel like. But anyway, so he was interested in getting this movie off the ground. And I think John Milius was also interested in this, in the story for a very long while. But maybe he was a fan of these short stories, because this whole idea is that Conan the Barbarian was a character invented by a guy called Robert E. Howard, who was writing these short stories in 1920s and 30s. He's writing these short stories, and eventually they became the sort of the item of cult appeal, and invited other writers to come and write more stories in the vein of what this guy used to do. So there was like L. Sprague de Camp and Lynn Carter were the two main ones. Who used to write these stories. When I was younger, actually, I did read quite a few of them. And by younger, I mean very, very young. Almost dangerously too young to be reading this, because this is a kind of fantasy that's very adult-oriented. Like, it's very violent. But anyway, so the idea was that they really wanted to get Conan the Barbarian off the ground for a very long while, and for many reasons, this wouldn't come to fruition. And one of these reasons was, I think, there were like problems with rights to the character name, to the books. It was a whole rigmarole and a whole like legal quagmire of trying to kind of figure out who owns what. And I think they've ended up the camp, and I think Carter, they eventually formed like a company who'd own these rights, and they could dish out these rights to the people. So eventually, I think Pressman bought these rights. Eventually, they got, they wanted to actually, I think, set up a very sort of cheap movie, a few million dollars to make this. as long as they could get a named writer to do it. In 1976, 78, they got Oliver Stone to do it. And I think Oliver Stone at the time was, I can't remember, he had written Midnight Express.
Midnight Express was probably after, but he was on the scene around then. I sort of forget.
I think he was kind of already a name of some sort, right? Yeah. So, and a little fun story was, I think, I can't remember whether this was still when Pressman was producing it or whether he eventually dumped it and then this was purchased by Dino De Laurentiis. This is a mess, as I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like I don't quite remember all these details, and all just blurs into this one sort of blob of factoids, where Dino De Laurentiis bought the rights. He said that Raffaella, his daughter, would be producing it, and at this time also Milius was coming in and out of this project because he was initially interested. Then he dropped out and he did other things, and then he came back when Dino De Laurentiis came back online. So he took Oliver Stone's script and he rewrote it. And even during the Pressman years, they were still thinking about getting Arnold Schwarzenegger to do this character for a while, because he was this sort of Mr. Olympia guy. And for him, this would have been his first sort of big, massive role. Ended up still being his first massive role. But anyway, among other people, they are considered Charlie Bronson and Sylvester Stallone. I think these would be the big two names. Another fun fact, I think before James Earl Jones got his role, I think they considered, I think, Max von Sydow for this role for a little while. So there's that. But yeah, so Milius gets on board. They also hired Ron Cobb to do production design for this movie. And that was before John Milius came on board. Maybe this was even still when Oliver Stone's script was being sort of developed. The problem with the script was that when they actually budgeted what's in the script, they said, like, this is going to cost $40 million, right? So, like, no one has that kind of money. But anyway, so they hired, that was like late 70s, they hired Ron Cobb, who just about did Alien, and then he recommended that maybe they could get Ridley Scott to do it, but Ridley Scott said no, because I think he was actively developing Blade Runner at the time. So there's that. And then I think producers, at this point, I don't remember whether this was De Laurentiis or Pressman, probably already De Laurentiis, they said, like, maybe we can get Oliver Stone to direct it, as long as we get someone else as well. And so there will be two directors, and they had Joe Alvarez for a short while, just considering, do you know who Joe Alvarez is? The guy who did Jaws 3.
Yeah.
Jaws 3. I think that's his only credit, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe he did something else, but I think he just did Jaws 3D and that was it. And that was also 1982, I want to say, or 3. I don't know, early 80s, right? But someone said, like, having two directors is a bad idea. So they got John Milius, and John Milius, like, started rewriting these things. Got Arnold Schwarzenegger, got Jerry Lopez, who he did, I think, Big Wednesday.
Big Wednesday, yeah. Well, Jerry Lopez is a surfer.
Yes. So, and then Sandal Bergman as well. Like, he got this sort of the big trio of actors who are not actors at all. So I think this was like the big gamble, because he trusted them. You know, like, he hired them based on their personas and based on their physicalities, hoping that they would learn their lines correctly, with varying effects. But anyway, so they initially wanted to shoot the film in Yugoslavia, but Josip Broz Tito died. So apparently Yugoslavia wasn't a good idea to do this, because the country was, let's just say, going through a period of political turmoil. So they relocated into Spain, spending quite a lot of time and money to do this, and then spend even more time on building sets. And then, well, I think some.
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.